The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a mystery to solve here at the radio station. Because I arrived here and noticed in our little lobby area when we walk into the station, there was a package of Halloween-themed peeps on the table. And I'm like 95% sure that it was unopened when I got here. And now there's a peep missing. It's not really a mystery in the way of like who ate the peep, but I am curious to find out who it was, because I'm somebody who, like, I thought peeps were good as a kid. I don't like them anymore. And so I'm curious who was the one who was the brave soul that actually ate the peep. We have since learned that Boehm ate one of the peeps. He just ate one during that break. Mackenzie says they're absolutely disgusting. I'm now curious. We texted Jax. Jax said no. So that leaves either JP or Nick, who left the afternoon show as the culprits who ate the peep. JP doesn't really strike me as a peep guy. I don't know. Nick maybe could be a peep guy. Might have to ask him tomorrow. Let's go out to our guest, Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, I know you didn't eat the peep. Are you a peep guy? Would you ever eat a peep?
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're disgusting.
Can't do the peeps. That is maybe the one candy on earth that I will not consume.
So I do like candy corn, which is also very taboo.
I love candy
Thank
corn.
Thank you. Daryl's
and I love
on my
the
side.
Candy corn pumpkins, too.
Yeah, those ones are actually better than the regular candy corns. You're right about that. It's kind of like how the shape Reese's cups, like the pumpkins and the Christmas trees and all that, those taste different than the regular Reese's cups.
Yes.
Yeah, the pumpkins taste better. I agree.
Mm. Yeah, my money's on Nick.
I think so too. I think it was Nick. I'm gonna have to.
He's getting the diabetes.
I can't wait to unravel this further and find out who it was. But my guess is Nick too.
Well,
I just can't see JP eating a peep. I just can't.
Well, here's the thing. There's a security camera up there.
That's true.
Somebody's got the footage.
Who's got access? Keith? Can we text Keith? Hey, pull it up, Keith.
I do believe now Keith has permitted access to the security cameras.
Instead of posting something from the show of me sitting here at the in-studio, just post that as our clip for tonight. Just be like, here's Nick Wilson eating a peep. Thoughts, everybody?
Gotta out the peep eater. That almost came out the wrong way. I had to be very careful as I said that.
Yeah, that's when I knew I was going to ask you about peeps, I was going to... I initially wrote down, are you a peep guy, Daryl? And I was like, that's not how I want to word that question.
Yeah, that's no. There will be no peeping Tom jokes being made here tonight, okay?
Oh, man, I love the show.
But no,
I'm
serious. Get your hands on the security footage.
I will work on that because we need to find out who it was.
That's what needs to happen. We need a full-fledged 92.3 The Fan investigation. Who ate the peeps?
This conversation will likely continue tomorrow when I'm in with Nick on the afternoon show, if it was him.
What poor soul is ruining plumbing right now?
Your poor plumber. Your poor doctor. Just everyone. Oh, man. Daryl Ryder joining us here on the show. Daryl, how much does the result this coming Sunday against the Chargers, you think, determine what direction the Browns go moving forward in the 2024 season?
Well, I mean, I think it'll play a part, but I don't think it's going to dramatically alter, Andrew Berry's way of thinking. I mean, I certainly respect the optimism that we heard on Monday from Juan Thornhill that, the playoffs are alive and well and all that kind of stuff. I don't necessarily believe that, but because they basically have to do what they've never done before, and that's like win 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row. And the longest winning streak for this franchise since 1999 is 4 games. That's it. 4 in a row. They have lost plenty of games in bulk, but the win streaks escaped them. I just pulled up my spreadsheet right now. Tell me how many times the Cleveland Browns since 1999 have won 4 games in a row. And I'm going to give you a hint. Their first four-game win streak did not happen until 2009.
I'm going to say it happened two times.
Close. Add three and you'd have the correct answer. It has happened five times.
I definitely lowballed him. Yeah, I didn't give him a lot of I had very little hope that it was more than two.
Well, we know you're Mr. Negativity when it comes to the Browns, so it's understandable. Now, how many times have they won three in a row since 1999? And your hint is the first three-game win streak came in 2001.
I'm going to say nine times.
You nailed it. Right on the money.
Look at
me. There you go. Look at you.
I absolved myself.
Something tells me you hurried up and Googled that.
No, Daryl, I swear we can pull up the security footage again. I did not Google that answer. I don't even know if that answer would, like, I think it might take a while to find. You got to do some digging on that one. I don't know if Google just has that one on hand. Plus, sometimes those AI answers aren't actually correct.
How about this? They've lost four games in a row six times. They've lost five games in a row five times. They've lost six games in a row three times. Seven games in a row five times, I'm sorry. They also have a nine-game losing streak, a 14-game losing streak.
A 16-game losing streak.
And, yes, a 16-game losing streak.
Not great. No. Yeah.
Ain't football in Cleveland fun?
It's been a lot more fun the last couple of years, but yeah.
Well, I got to say, you know, that needs to be the new slogan for the Haslams when they move into their new digs and make football in Cleveland fun again.
Well, that's been my whole thing with the Deshaun part of this. Like, they got to hope that contract, because right now the voided year is going to 2028. They got to make sure they leave that thing in 2028. They cannot possibly have that thing linger into 2029. That would be a disaster.
Well, they're gonna avoid that sucker in 2026 and take the bullet.
I would assume so, too.
That's what they're going to do.
So, Daryl, as we talk about what kind of lies ahead for this team after this game, and we know the trade deadline's 2 days later than the bye week, and where their heads will kind of be at, is there a way where maybe they sort of try to thread the needle? And what I mean by that is stay competitive. Maybe you keep Jameis Winston around because he's this quarterback that's sort of leading the charge here and has made the offense look better. But you still find some pieces and parts to move without completely, you know, like throwing in the towel on 2024.
Well, they're not going to trade Myles Garrett, right?
Yeah.
At least we hope. Because if they do, I will be leading the calls for somebody to lose their job. You don't trade
right
generational
you.
Talent like that. And have you seen what the Browns do with first round draft picks? You can give me all the first-round draft picks in the world. I'm not interested. Okay?
Very fair.
I see what the Browns do with first-round draft picks. Sorry, not impressed. I'm not trading Miles. But, you know, guys like Za'Darius and Elijah Moore, you know, these players that are on these last years of their contract that are not in your long-term planning, I'm all for jettisoning. I don't believe that they're going to rally back and make the playoffs this year. That just isn't going to happen. I believe not many teams have rallied from a 2-6 start to a season to go ahead and make the playoffs. In fact, this is from Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports. 1970 Bengals, 2020 Commanders, 2022 Jaguars. They're the only 2-6 teams ever to make the playoffs.
Wow.
So, better chance of winning the lottery, I think, than the Browns getting out. Because here's the thing. Like, let's have an honest discussion about Jameis Winston here, right? Yes, he made the offense palatable, okay?
Which wasn't hard, given how bad it was.
Right. The bar is low, right? We did, just ask him for some mediocre quarterback play. He did throw for 300 yards, give him credit. He should have thrown two, three, maybe four interceptions in that game. Thankfully, the Baltimore Ravens secondary can't catch football.
Shout out Jim Donovan for the assist.
Yes, the Jameis Winston experience is that he's going to throw a lot of touchdowns and he's going to throw a lot of interceptions, right? They're going to, I think, win a couple of games here, but I just they're not going to have this monumental rally where they're going to win, what, 8 of 9 that they have remaining?
Yeah.
You know, that just isn't going to happen. Or win 7 of 9. I don't see that happening. The competition is too difficult. So, you know, just make this thing fun for fans to watch the rest of the way. You're going to get your first round pick back next year. And then, you know, maybe Andrew Berry can collect some extra mid-round picks that he can turn into maybe another second-round pick or something like that, right? Because they do need an infusion of young talent. This is an older football team. This is a very expensive football team. They've got salary cap limitations that they have to think about. Thank you to Deshaun Watson. And so they're going to have to find a way to field a winning team, but do it cheaper from a salary cap standpoint. And that obviously begins next year. But, you know, as far as this year goes, yeah, I mean, any spare parts that Andrew Berry can turn into draft picks not named Jameis Winston, go ahead. The reason I say not Jameis is because, well, if he does play well here, do you want another Joe Flacco situation where you got rid of a perfectly good quarterback, right?
So you, I was going to actually ask that next. You could see a scenario where maybe they actually bring Jameis back next year.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, there are terms and conditions here,
right,
attached to that. But yeah, I mean, if he goes out and he plays like Joe Flacco did, right, where he's got a bunch of 300-yard games, they're able to win some games, you know, the offense is moving along, and then, yeah, I definitely could see that scenario where you bring him back as a bridge quarterback until, I don't know, I guess we wait another 30 years for them to find a franchise quarterback because, well, we're still waiting. We thought it was Baker. It's not Baker. Thought it might be Deshaun. It's not Deshaun. So, you know, someone in the building got drunk and thought it was Johnny Manziel or the homeless guy. Jimmy ran into the homeless guy or whatever the Johnny legend Manziel is, right? you know, so the Haslams are 0-for picking the franchise quarterback. I think we can all agree on that. So, yeah, if Jameis can play really well here, then I think you have to consider keeping him around to be the bridge quarterback and at least, like I said, put an entertaining product out there for the fans, even if you can't win.
Some final thoughts with our Browns beat reporter, Darryl Ryder. You mentioned being an older team, but a guy that's younger that I thought played really well on Sunday, even in the rewatch, I thought he did a good job, was DeJuan Jones. Sounds like he maybe took the 2 weeks he sort of spent out of the lineup, gave him a chance to kind of get his weight in check a little bit and let his knee heal up a little bit more. Is it viable, you think, that he could end up being now the left tackle of the future, especially given all the uncertainty around Jedrick Wills?
Absolutely. Look, I believe DeJuan Jones has the talent to be an all-pro, okay? We saw that last year.
Yeah.
Okay? So I believe in his talent. My criticism of him was basically him not living up to the talent that I believe he has. I thought he played really well. Was he perfect? No, couple mistakes, but I on those mistakes, I'm not sure what the assignment was, so I hesitate to criticize him, but at least he wasn't standing around like we saw earlier in the season watching two guys run by him, right? He'd look to his left, look to his right, see two guys coming at him and choose option three, which is to block none of them. That didn't happen last week.
Yeah.
So I thought he was really good. And honestly, I would stick with this offensive line combination going forward.
He's Darryl Ryder, our Browns insider here at 92 Through the Fan. Always grateful for his time. Darryl, I will see you in Berea tomorrow. You have a great rest of your night, all right?
I appreciate the warning, and check that security camera footage.
We will. Yeah, let's all watch the Yankees lose tonight so we can enjoy some New York
too.
Fan tears. That's always a fun thing.
Yes, a little thing. Hey, listen, the Yankees, the Giants, and the Knicks all lost on the same night. Let me tell you, New York sports Twitter was glorious last night. Phenomenal.
It was the best. You're right about that. Appreciate you, Darryl. We'll talk tomorrow.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.